Critical Analysis of Bidah by Sheikh Abu Adnan, CD 2, Part 1.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, inshallah, will continue the second lecture of our series, Innovation. We want to talk about, after we spoke last time about what Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah means, we want to talk about today the rules, the milestones of holding on to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars of Islam have collected many rules and put so many rules for us to follow so we can stay within the boundaries of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many people, when they are not restricted to the rules of the Sunnah and the milestones the ulama put for us, they end up going outside the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and falling into innovation without them knowing or realizing. The first rule, our deen, Islam, is built and constructed on two great principles. The first one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the only one worthy of worship. And it is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. There is no deity, no God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which opposing to that, shirk, polytheism, taking associates beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is shirk wal'iyadu billah. And shirk, as you know, is divided into two types of shirk. There is the major shirk, which is totally directing a worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and minor shirk, which is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, defined it as pride. Having pride, which is the ibadah in its principle is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you seek some of the reward from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first principle. The second principle, which is our religion, Islam, our beautiful religion, is constructed on, you cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except in whatever He has legislated to us. As they say in Arabic, والأصل الثاني ألا يعبد إلا بما شرع. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not worshipped except with whatever He have legislated. And this is the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the meaning of the testimony that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Is the messenger of Allah. So what does it mean he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That He is the best of worshippers. He is the one who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best manner and in the best form. And no one can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you do an excessive act or if you practice an act away from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have left the circle of worshipping Allah through what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or through what Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have legislated for us. You went to extreme. And extreme here, extreme could be by staying away from the sunnah, abandoning the sunnah, or to practice acts that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never practiced. Let me give you an example. The hadith where the three people who came to Medina and they saw how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after they were told. One of them said, I will fast every day. The second one said, I will never marry women. The third one said, I will pray all night. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to them after he heard this, he said, I swear by Allah that I am the most fearful of Allah and the most conscious of Him than all of you, but I also, as part of my sunnah, fast and break my fast, pray and sleep at night, and I marry women. As you see here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he rejected this extremism, even though you're trying to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rejected this, and he considered it an innovation and not part of his sunnah, wal'iyadu billah. The second rule, any deed that anyone practice, it is not accepted except if it meets two conditions. The first condition that this deed, it has to be for the sake of Allah alone. It has to be sincere for Allah alone. Which is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلَصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ. They were only ordered to worship Allah, sincere to Him, the religion, with sincerity, hunafa, inclining from polytheism and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to monotheism and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first condition for a deed to be accepted, it has to be sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second condition, it has to be on the footsteps, following the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the proof for these two conditions? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 110, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And whomever hopes in good meeting with his Lord, let him do a good righteous deed and do not associate anyone in worship to his Lord. Here, this great scholar, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, he said, in the meaning of the verse, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Mulk, verse number 2, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, he would practice the best deeds. Here he said, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَصْوَبُهُ, the most sincere and the most correct. They replied and said, Ya Aba Ali, what do you mean, أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَصْوَبُهُ, what do you mean with the most sincere and the most correct? He said, إِنَّ الْعَمَلَ, indeed, the deed, إِذَا كَانَ خَالِصًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ صَوَابًا لَمْ يُقْبَلْ. The deed, if it is sincere and it is not correct, it is rejected. وَإِذَا كَانَ صَوَابًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ خَالِصًا لَمْ يُقْبَلْ. And if it was correct and it's not sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is rejected. حَتَّى يَكُونَ خَالِصًا صَوَابًا. Until it is خالص, pure, sincere, صواب, correct. Then he further explained what خالص means. He said, وَالْخَالِصُ مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ. The خالص, the sincere, for Allah alone, والصواب مَا كَانَ عَلَى السُنَّةِ. And the correct, it is on the sunnah, and it has to be on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the first rule, Islam is constructed on two great principles. The first one, only Allah alone worthy of worship, la ilaha illallah, and the ibadah, it has to be according to the sharia of Islam, legislated by the sharia of Islam. The second rule, it has to meet two conditions. The first condition, it has to be sincere, and the second condition, it has to be on the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third rule for a person to practice an act of worship, it has to be according to the sharia. So what are the factors that make an act of worship regarded as part of the sharia? Here the ulama, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he gave us these factors. He said first, reasons. Any reason, any person who worships Allah by doing an act of worship that is not done for a reason proven in the sharia, is doing an act of worship that will be rejected and is not enjoined by Allah and His Messenger. Reasons, my brothers and sisters in Islam, are divided to two types. The kawni, universal reasons, and the shar'i, legal reasons. Tayyib, what do we mean with this? The kawni, universal reason, if you get sick, you take Panadol. If you need to have children, you get married. If you're thirsty, you drink water. That is kawni. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the world, He put all this reason. You want to do something, then you have to take the appropriate reasons to achieve it. The legal reasons, the shar'i reasons, for example, if you want to stop an evil eye or protect yourself from envy and evil eye, what you do? You recite, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommended to us, you recite, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite. These are the shar'i reasons. If you want to attain taqwa piety, what do? You go to the pharmacist and say, can I have a little bottle of taqwa? Of course not. What you do is you look into the Quran and the Sunnah and you see what are the types of worship that you need to do so you can attain taqwa. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the siyam, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala written upon you, on your fasting, as He has written it on the ones and the nations before you, so you might attain taqwa. So if you want to increase your taqwa, you fast. You want to stop the evil eye and the envy, you recite the appropriate selected verses from the Quran and the dua from the Sunnah. If you do you want to stop that envy, as some people do, some ignorant people do, they wear this blue sham or horseshoe to stop evil eye from coming or to stop envy. Now this reason, that blue sham or that horseshoe, is it recognized by the Sharia or not? Of course the answer it is not recognized, as you know. So wearing it, it is not part of the Sharia. Thus it becomes innovation and it leads to shirk, and in itself shirk. Same thing, if you want to have children, you cannot just sit at home and say, I am never going to get married, and at the same time, I want to have children of my own. Of course, that will never going to happen. And that's why in the Sharia also, the reasons have to be recognized in the Sharia. The reasons have to be recognized in the Sharia. Type and nature. That act, by its type and nature, has to be according to the Sharia. So here he said, the act of worship should be in accordance with the Sharia in its type of nature. For example, if you want to sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to sacrifice a sheep, you want to sacrifice for the sake of Allah, you want to practice this beautiful ibadah of sacrificing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you sacrifice a horse? Even though you might say, I have this beautiful stallion, Arab pure blood stallion, worth over $10,000, I want to sacrifice it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or on Eid, I am going to sacrifice it as a qurban. Would that be accepted? Of course not, because the Sharia wanted you to sacrifice from an animal of the an'am class, like camel, cow, or a sheep. That's what the Sharia wants from you. So even though you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you cannot get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you want to sacrifice a horse as an udhiyah. It has to be according to the Sharia. Also, the amount that you practice, it must be according to the Sharia. The act of worship must be in accordance with the Sharia in its amount. For example, you cannot say, I want to pray Dhuhr 5 rak'at. 5 rak'at is more than 4 rak'at. So you'd say, with your logic, you'd say, طيب, my 5 is more than 4, so it must be better. The Sharia has specified an amount for you. Yani, how does that reflect? For example, some people would say, if someone passed away, if you want to free him from Jahannam, you read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ 1,000 times. When you come to complain and to say, my brother, where did you get this 1,000 times for? The answer would be, Akhi, am I allowed to read قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ or not? You say yes, so what's wrong with reading it 1,000 times? At this point where people get confused and they do not understand, there is a difference between reciting قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ 1,000 times and restricting a virtue to it where that virtue doesn't exist in the Quran and Sunnah, or to say, look, wallahi, between Fajr and Dhuhr, I want to recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ as much as I can because I have a day off today, or I have time to do this dhikr, remembrance of Allah, and I want to read as much as I can, maybe 1,000 times. Or to say, today I am going to recite it 1,000 times and tomorrow 1,100 and increase my iman. Or I only have time to read 10 pages every day. That's why I want to read 10 pages every day of the Quran. It is different than saying, if you read 10 pages every day, you'll get such and such and such a reward. This is what makes it an innovation. But if you want to read 10 pages and get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the amount of 10, it is not related to a special virtue that you invented, then this is not an innovation. But if you relate to it, a virtue that doesn't exist in the Quran and Sunnah, then this is when you have practiced an act not according to the Sharia. Now, the next one, how it is done. If a person does an act of worship that is acceptable in its type, amount and reason, but he goes against Sharia in the manner in which he does it, then it is not valid. Let me give you an example. If someone wants to make wudu, the time of salat comes, then he washes his feet, then wipes his head, then washes his hands, then he washes his face. This is, of course, it is not correct, because the way it is done, it is not according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Let me give you another example. For example, sitting in a circle and making dhikr, a collective dhikr in a circle, and twisting and turning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the meaning that remember Allah with lots of remembrance. Remember Allah with lots of remembrance. اذكروا الله ذكرًا كثيرًا. Now, if someone sits in a circle and they twirl and dance and remembering the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this way that it's done, that form, that way that you are doing the dhikr, is it in the Quran or the Sunnah? Of course not. So it is not part of the Sharia, the way you are doing it. Let me give you another example. This is what happened with Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu in one of the masjids in the Kufa. When Abu Musa al-Ash'ari passed by his masjid and he saw people sitting in a circle and a person sitting in the middle, and this person would say Subhanallah, and all of them would say Subhanallah. Say Allahu Akbar. Say Alhamdulillah in a circle. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari never said anything to them. He carried on to the house of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He saw some of the students sitting outside. He asked them, has Ibn Mas'ud came out yet? They said, no, he did not come out. He's still inside his house. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu waited for him. When he came out, he said to him, have you seen what's been happening in your masjid? He said, no. What's been happening? He said, khair, inshallah, you will see. Then he informed him. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he covered his face so the people would not know who he is. And he approached them. And when he came near them, he revealed his face and he said to them, what are you doing? You're either on a guidance better than the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you have invented something new. See here, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he is not complaining about saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wallahu Akbar. No, he is complaining about the way they are doing this. The way they are doing this, the way they are in a circle making the dhikr. And because of this, he said to them, you are either on a better guidance or you are inventing something new. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Based on this, we understand that the companions knew that if you were to perform a ibadah, if you were to perform a ibadah in a way that is not performed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is not part of the Sharia. Let me give you another example to enforce this point further. Let's say in your salat, if you're prostrating or bowing, can you read Surah Al-Fatiha? Of course, you cannot read Surah Al-Fatiha, even though, by principle, you're allowed to read Surah Al-Fatiha. But in that position, there is a specified dua. And according to the logic of some of the innovators, for example, after the muaddin calls the adhan, they add to it, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad, and so on. Loudly, straight after the adhan, the muaddin, he repeated loudly after the adhan. Tayyib. The adhan is prescribed by the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And this, as-salatu wa s-salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, and so on, This is not prescribed inside the adhan or straight away after the adhan. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ, if you hear the one making adhan, فَقُولُ مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ, say, repeat whatever he has said, ثُمَّ صَلُّ عَلَيْهِ, ثُمَّ صَلُّ عَلَيْهِ, then you make salat on me. So what does it mean? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you hear the muadhin, you people, you listeners, repeat what he said, then, ثُمَّ, you people who are listening, صَلُّ عَلَيْهِ, say the salat wasalam ala Rasul alayhi wasalam. طيب. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam talking to the people who are listening to the adhan. Not the one who is making the adhan. And then he specifically said thumma. Thumma, as the linguist would tell you, and the ulama of usul, the principle of jurisprudence, they say it is littarahi, where it is not directly straight away after it, which is then that means you give a space of time, then you do it. It is not like when you say, Muhammad and Ahmed entered the room. Muhammad wa Ahmed. Muhammad and Ahmed entered the room. Wow here, which is you translate it to end. Yes, that means they entered one after the other quickly with each other, or both of them at the same time entered the room. The second one, Muhammad fa Ahmed. Muhammad fa Ahmed. Muhammad followed quickly by Ahmed. Muhammad with this small little tiny amount of time. But if you want to increase that span of time even further, you say Muhammad thumma Ahmed. Muhammad then Ahmed. That means it could be after 5 minutes, it could be after 10 minutes, it could be after 15 minutes, but not directly as the people would say. And if you were to complain and say, you cannot do this ad, add it loudly to the adhan, they will accuse you that you hate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, wal'iyadu billah, this is incorrect. You don't hate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't hate praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But specifically, not after the adhan in a loud manner. And specifically, this is talking to the muadhin, the one who is performing the adhan, not to make it straight away after the adhan, where he have to give it some time, and he say it in silent within himself, where he can hear himself, so he cannot make it as part of the adhan, because the adhan was specified by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To add to this, like for example, if you are reading this verse, Muhammadun Rasulullah walladhina amanu ma'ah, this verse, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Can you stop while you're reading the Quran and say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walladhina amanu ma'ah in the salah? Or if you are reciting the verse in the Quran, Muhammadun Rasulullah walladhina amanu ma'ah. Can you do that? Can you stop and say Muhammadun Rasulullah walladhina amanu ma'ah and stop at the word Muhammad and they say Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala sayyidina and continue? If you are in salat, for example, or if you are performing the ibadah, or even if you are reading the Quran, of course, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. But outside the salat and outside reciting the Quran, if you say Muhammad, then it is incumbent on you to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next point, timing. The act of worship must be in accordance with the sharia with regard of its timing. For example, you can only pray dhuhr after the zenith. After the sun has passed its zenith. Before that, you cannot pray zuhr. Also, you cannot fast Ramadan in Sha'ban or in Shawwal. Now, another point, which is the last point, the place where it is done. The act of worship must be in accordance with the sharia with regard to the place where it is done. For example, if a person stands in Muzdalifah on the day of Arafah, this standing is not valid because the act of worship is not in accordance with the sharia with regard to the place where it is done. Similarly, for example, if a person were to do i'tikaf in his own house, that would not be valid because the place of i'tikaf is the mosque. Now we move to the fourth rule. The fourth rule, the sunnah is into two types. فعليه وتركيه. The فعليه is whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam practiced or ordered us to practice or he accepted. He seen it happens in front of him, he accepted that. Like, for example, the adhan that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepted. The second type of sunnah is the sunnah at-tarkiyah. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam abandoned, but there was a need and necessity for it. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not order nor he performed the adhan for the Salatul Eid or Salatul Janaza. So the sunnah is not to perform an adhan. While it is Salat, and the Salat needs the adhan to call the people to it, Salatul Eid and Salatul Janaza is a Salat where you need to call the people to it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not call an adhan to it. Also, he did not do an iqama to it. Salatul Eid has no iqama before it. So anyone does an iqama to it would tell you this is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the person then he wants to argue, isn't it a salat? Yes, it is a salat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed it, but he did not do an iqama to it. That's why it becomes a sunnah not to do an iqama for Salatul Eid. So once we understand these rules, we would know how to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Tayyib, somebody would ask this question, wasn't there a necessity to collect the Quran? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not collect the Quran? While we know there was a necessity to preserve the Quran, then according to this rule, we can say collecting the Quran then is an innovation. Of course, this is great, a huge misunderstanding, because there was no necessity in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to collect the Quran. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was available and he could correct anyone who makes a mistake in the Quran, and the revelation, Jibreel, would continuously coming to inform the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the Quran and teach him the Quran. Also, another one, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as long as he is alive, there was the new rules coming through. So collecting the Quran, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to abrogate some verses. So collecting the Quran prematurely, it becomes wrong and it is not necessary. So after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Jibreel stopped coming. There is no new rules and regulations. The Sharia, khalas, was put for us. The necessity arises for it. Then the Sahaba collected the Quran. What stopped the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from collecting the Quran into one book? Mind you, the companions memorized the Quran. A lot of them memorized the Quran. And a lot of them were writing the Quran. We're not talking about writing the Quran here. We're talking about the collecting the Quran. Because collecting the Quran was done after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam purposely did not collect it all of it in one book, because the revelation is continuous and some verses could get abrogated and the rules, the Sharia was not complete. It only became complete after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Sharia then, we are sure it is complete, because Jibreel, he's not going to come to this world. There is no more a new Sharia. So as you see, you cannot say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam abandoned collecting the Quran in one book, thus we should not collect it. No, because there was a necessity not to collect it, which is the continuous revelation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Jibreel was coming frequent to this earth teaching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the Quran. And then when by the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, necessity arise, and then the companions collected the Quran into one book. Now, if we want to compare this with the Mawlid, let's compare this rule with the Mawlid. Was there a necessity for the Mawlid? Yes, the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you would ask anyone who performs the Mawlid on 12 Rabi' al-Awwal, why do you do it? He said, because I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to show the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say, okay, hang on a minute here. The companions had love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, they did have love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than your love and my love. Tayyib, we have a question for them now. If the companions loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, why they didn't do Mawlid? While the necessity of it existed to show the pinnacle of love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you claim, the necessity existed. If you ask me and you say to me, but they did not know about things called birthdays and Mawlid, I say you are wrong, because they were living in Medina. There was Christian and Jews who celebrated the birthday of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they used to call it the Nairuz. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he specifically told the believers not to take part in the Nairuz. So you cannot say there was no birthday. The companions witnessed that. They saw that. They never participated. The necessity for a Mawlid existed, which is to show the love to the Prophet ﷺ. Yet the companions did not take part of it. Of course, to talk about the Mawlid and refuting the issue of the Mawlid, it takes a lecture. But I am just giving examples so we can understand the topic properly. The fifth rule, the basic principle about the ibadat is to be restricted except with the dalil. Ibadat means act of worship. All the ibadat, the basic principle of it is restricted unless there is a dalil. Yani, for example, you cannot pray Zuhr 5 rak'at without a dalil. You need the dalil. So the ibadat are restricted to the Quran and Sunnah, and you cannot invent a new type of worship without a dalil. The second part of this fifth rule, habits, day-to-day activities and deeds, the basic principle about them, they are allowed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He is the one who created for you everything that is on this earth for you. So before I say about this food it is haram, I need a dalil. Wearing wool, if I want to wear wool, am I allowed to wear a jumper made out of wool? Of course I am. If you're going to come up and say to me, this is haram, then you need a dalil. Yani, for example, wearing silk. If I wear silk, you say this is haram, I ask you, what is the dalil? You say to me, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the gold and the silk are halal for the women of my ummah and haram for the men. Then I have to take it off. Even though the basic principle, you're allowed to wear any material you like, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam secluded from that general command, that which is Allah has commanded that everything for you is halal, he made the seclusion that this is haram. So to dress in any material that you like, it is halal, unless there is an exclusion from the Sharia, like in the case of silk, or clothing that imitate women, and so on and so forth.
CD 2, Part 2.
We want to study the reasons why people fall into innovation and bid'ah. What are the reasons that make people fall into innovation? The first reason, ignorance, al-jahl. And that is unfortunately the disease, that people act and do things thinking they are doing good, thinking they are trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst in reality they are falling into innovation. وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. And do not utter what you do not have knowledge of. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Indeed, the hearing and the seeing and the heart, all those you are going to be asked about them. So the ayah is clearly telling us that we shouldn't utter anything that we have no knowledge of. Before someone hastes into performing a ibadah, worship, he needs to know He needs to know the conditions and the rules and the regulations of that ibadah. And also whether that ibadah was according to the way of the Prophet ﷺ, as we spoke earlier on. Because that ibadah could not be on the way of the Prophet ﷺ, and the person would fall into innovation. And in the hadith that is agreed upon, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, he said, سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْتَزِعُ الْعِلْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ انْتِزَاعًا. Allah does not take the knowledge from the people, وَلَكِنْ يُقْبَضُ الْعُلَمَاء فَيُرْفَعُ الْعِلْمُ مَعَهُمْ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the life of the scholars, and the knowledge is lifted with them. وَيُبْقِي فِي النَّاسِ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا. And he would leave in the people and amongst the people heads who are ignorant. يُفْتُونَ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. They will give fatwa based on no knowledge. So they get misguided and they misguide others. Secondly, following whims and desires. اتِّبَاعُ الْهَوَى. And this is another very dangerous issue. This is when we say, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that Satan loves innovation more than al-ma'siyah, more than the sin. Even though innovation is a sin, but not every sin is an innovation. Not every sin is an innovation. But innovation is a sin. Yani, for example, drinking alcohol, wal-iyadhu billah, it's not an innovation, but it's a major sin. But innovation is a sin. So, the shaitan loves it. Why? Because he knows that one day you would repent if you are falling into major sin. The person who drinks alcohol, he knows that he's doing something haram. And one day he would say, I might quit. But the one who is indulged in innovation, he thinks he is getting closer to Allah with that innovation. That's why he gets closer to it and he loves it and he follows it. And his whim is inside this innovation. His whims is in love with this innovation. And I want to elaborate on a point here. Sometimes some people do an innovation, like doing dhikr and jumping up and down and dancing like someone being possessed with the shaitan, wal-iyadhu billah. And then they would say, but afterwards I do feel good. I get this great feeling in my heart. You should try it so you can get that feeling. The answer to that, of course you will get a great feeling. Same as the one who takes drugs. He does get a feeling afterwards. Otherwise, why he takes drugs? Same as the one who listens to the music. He feels nashwa. He feels excitement and fulfillment. But is that fulfillment haram or halal? And did it come in means of halal or means of haram? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, said about the Qur'an. The Qur'an, you should get a fulfillment and joy when you read the Qur'an or listen to the Qur'an. So the excuse that I feel good and there is a good feeling is not a good enough excuse to make things according to the Sharia, which is not part of the Sharia. So your desire and your good feeling is not a proof to bring something into the Sharia and makes it part of the Sharia. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Surah Al-Jathiyah, verse number 23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, haven't you seen to the one who took his whims as a deity, as a god, وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ, and after the knowledge has came to him, Allah has misguided him, وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ, and he sealed his hearing, وَقَلْبِهِ, and his heart, وَعَلَى بَصَرِهِ, and he put غِشَاوَ on his vision, and he put a cover over his vision. فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ, who's going to guide him after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't you remember? And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, very important verse, إِيَّتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ, the only follow assumptions. وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنْفُسِ and what their nafs desire. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمُ الْهُدَى and indeed guidance came to them from their Lord. So very important, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to understand this issue properly and to try to comprehend it. Sometimes something, if it feels good, it doesn't make it halal. It doesn't make it halal, or it doesn't make it allowed to do, or part of the religion and part of the sharia, because our intellect and our desires are not legislative authority. Third, التعلق بالشبهات. Clinging and holding on to the misconceptions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made it clear. He said, there are certain rules and regulations, there are certain verses in the Qur'an which is clear. There are some verses which is unclear. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Imran, verse number 7, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ He is the one who sent upon you the book, part of it, clear verses. هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ These verses are the mother of the book, يعني the Qur'an. وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ And others, متشابه, unclear. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ As for the ones they have doubt and desire in their heart and whims have taken away their hearts, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ So these ones who have sickness in their heart, they follow the unclear verses, ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ They would follow the unclear seeking the fitna, وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ And seeking the ta'wil to misinterpret the Qur'an. What does this verse means in this topic here? Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said to us, as we said in the previous lessons, اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا Remember Allah with lots of remembrance. طيب, we know that this is general command. It is unclear in this verse to us, how do we do the dhikr, the remembrance? The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other verses specified to us how we do the ibadah and the acts of worship. Someone would say, and as we used it and we said previously, someone would say, Tayyib, I want to do a ibadah of dhikr by jumping up and down and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we say, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do that? Because he uses the excuse, he says, remember Allah with lots of remembrance, so I can do remembrance in any way I like. But if we go to the Quran and Sunnah, it tells us how we do the dhikr, and then we would understand how to do the dhikr, not our whims and desires and our intellect, that we will go to the Quran and Sunnah, and they will inform us how to do the dhikr. Fourth, reliance on intellect. Al-i'timadu ala al-aql al-mujarrad. To just rely on our intellect away from the Qur'an and Sunnah. Whomever relies on his mind and on his intellect and he stays away and he abandoned the Qur'an and the Sunnah, he is indeed misguided. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ Whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam given you, take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ Whatever He forbidden you from doing, then you should not do. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ And it is not for a believing man nor a believing woman. إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا When Allah and His Messenger orders an order, أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ That they should have any option in their decision. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed strayed into a plain error. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, it is clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, you have no option when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger orders you an order. خلاص. When they order you an order, there is no option for you to choose to say, ah, I like this, or ah, I do not like this. You have to adhere and conform to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders you. Fifth, التقليد والتعصب. Imitating, blind following, rigidness. Most of Ahlul Bid'ah, the people of innovation, they blindly follow their shuyukh. He will tell you, this is the tariqah of my sheikh. And he would not move away from it, even if the proof is against it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about that kind of mentality, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. Surah Al-Baqarah verse 170. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when it is said to them, follow what Allah has revealed, they would say, we will follow. They would reply and say, we will follow what we found our forefathers upon. Shuf subhanallah al-azim. This is how the mentality is. They're not prepared to break away from their mentality. They're not prepared to break away from blind following and imitating. Even you say, Ya Akhi, this is not the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or bring a dalil, they would say, but my sheikh said, do you know more than my sheikh? I do not know more than your sheikh. I'll just a question. Bring me a dalil, a proof for what you're doing, or this innovation that you came up with. You'll find they have no proof except that this sheikh is recommended this act in such and such a way, and that's it, and that is how they answer the question. And listen to what Allah also subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, is he then to whom the evil of his deeds is made fair seeming, so that he considers it as good? Verily Allah sends astray whomever he wills and guides whomever he wills. Shuf subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the person whose his deeds, it looks good for him, he seems it's fair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he misguides whomever he likes and he guides whomever he likes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse also advised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. So destroy not yourself, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in sorrow for them. Truly Allah is the all-knower of what they do. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he threatened the people who blindly follow without following the proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ تُقَلَّبُ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ. On that day, their faces are turned in the fire. يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. They would say, we wish we have obeyed Allah and obeyed the messenger. وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّا أَطَعْنَا سَادَتَنَا وَكُبَرَاءَنَا. They say, oh our Lord, we have obeyed our masters and our greats. فَأَضَلُّونَ السَّبِيلَ. They have misguided us and they made us go astray. رَبَّنَا آتِهِمْ ضِعْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. Oh our Lord, give them double the punishment. وَالْعَنْهُمْ لَعْنًا كَبِيرًا. And curse them in a great way and a great cursing. شوف سبحان الله. This is just for blind following. Just blind following the people. Number 6, مُخَالَطَةُ أَهْلِ الشَّرِّ وَمُجَالَسَتُهُمْ. To sit and mingle with the people of evil and to sit with them. And this is what makes the bid'ah spread. Why? Because my brothers and sisters in Islam, sometimes you are on a sunnah. But too many misconceptions in your head and they decorate the innovation for you. And if you don't have the sufficient knowledge, you would fall into that innovation. You would fall into that innovation. And how many people we knew that were on sunnah and they were on khair and they were on goodness, and because too much mingling with Ahlul Bid'ah, they fall into Bid'ah and they learn the Bid'ah and the innovation from them. As وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. And on that day, the oppressor would bite his hands. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. He would say, I wish I took away with the messenger. يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. Woe to me, I wish I never took such and such a friend, such a person as a close friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. He indeed misguided me from the remembrance after it came to me. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. Indeed, the shaitan, he continuously let mankind down in the hour of need, and he misled them and misguided them. Surah Al-Furqan, verse 27-29. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in Surah Al-Nisa, verse 140, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْلُهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. And it had already been revealed to you in the book, this Quran, that when you hear the verses of Allah being denied and mocked at, شوف سبحان الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, then sit not with them until they engage in talk other than that. But if you stayed with them, certainly in that case you would be like them. Surely Allah will collect the hypocrites and disbelievers all together in hell, in Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. So as you see, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly, He has warned us from mixing with the people of kufr and people of hypocrisy. And from these verses, we will derive meanings that to be careful from mixing and take intimate friend, people of innovation, so they do not confuse us in their innovation. And also there is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is agreed upon. إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَالْجَلِيسِ السُّوءِ كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِخِ الْكِيرِ فَحَامِلُ الْمِسْكِ إِمَّا أَنْ يَحْذِيكَ وَإِمَّا أَنْ تَبْتَاعَ مِنْهُ وَإِمَّا أَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رِيحًا طَيِّبًا وَنَافِخُ الْكِيرِ إِمَّا أَنْ يُحْرِقَ ثِيَابَكَ وَإِمَّا أَنْ تَجِدَ رِيحًا خَبِيثًا. يعني the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the example of the good companion and the evil companion. The good companion is like the carrier and the merchant of mask, and the evil companion like the one who blows into the fire. The one who blows in the fire so he can melt the metal. The one who is mask merchant or the carrier of mask, either he will give you some, or you buy of him, or you smell from him a good smell. Nafikhul kir, on the other hand, the other person who blows into the fire, either he burns your clothes because of the fire, or you smell from him a bad smell. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he's making a similarities. Be careful who are your friends. Be careful who you're mixing and mingling with, so you don't pick up from them evil and bad habits. Number 7, and this is very important, سُكُوتُ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَكَتْمُ الْعِلْمِ. The ulama, when they are silent and keeping and hiding the knowledge. And this is another reason. When a alim, he sees something and he knows it's an innovation, and then he says, for the greater good, I am not going to talk about it. For the hikmah, I'm not going to talk about it. And wallahi, I have seen some shuyukh who entered the field of da'wah. They were totally against innovation. They joined organizations. And these organizations, they joined, they practice innovation. And once they joined these organizations, they said in the beginning, when they joined this organization, they said, slowly, slowly, we're going to change them. When we said to them, Ya Sheikh, you need to tell the people and educate people that this is innovation. He said, no, for the greater good, I will not do that. And now, after years, we've seen some of these shuyukh, they themselves start to fall into bid'ah and innovation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns such a people who do not speak the truth and who do not educate the Muslims. He said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ مِن بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 159 and 160. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily those who conceal the clear proofs, evidence and the guidance which we have sent down after we have made it clear for the people in the book, they are the ones cursed by Allah and cursed by the curses, except those who repent and do righteous deeds and openly declare the truth which they concealed. These I will accept their repentance, and I am the one who accepts repentance the most merciful. So here, as you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned these people who conceal the truth, conceal the haqq. And sometimes this issue of maslaha, the general benefit, sometimes it stops the da'i from saying the truth. Yes, we have to consider the wisdom, but at the same time, it doesn't mean we stop saying that this is innovation and educate the people to stay away from innovation. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith collected by the Tirmidhi, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ سُئِلَ عَنْ عِلْمٍ يَعْلَمُهُ فَكَتَمَهُ أُلْجِمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِلِجَامٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. Whomever is asked about knowledge, that he knows it, and then he concealed it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُلْجِمُهُ يعني, he will put on his face like the lijam that you put on the face of the horse, which is a seals the mouth to be able to control the horse. A lijam from fire, wal'iyadh billah. Number 8, التشبه بالكفار وتقليدهم. This is one of the greatest reasons why people fall into innovation. And here, the people who likes to imitate other religions. And this incident happened in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where a group of people, a group of his companions, were new to Islam, and they become Muslim on the day where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened Mecca. They passed by a tree, and they said, "O Messenger of Allah, اجعل لنا ذات أنواط, make us that anwat." That anwat, a tree that the kuffar used to hang their swords on it, seeking blessings from that tree. That anwat, kama lahum that anwat. As these mushriks have that anwat, yani a tree that they can hang the swords on it, seeking blessings. So they wanted to imitate them too. Because they've done it, why don't we have one similar to them? And that is unfortunately a door where a lot of Muslims enter through. And when they said this to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied with, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. وَقُلْتُمْ وَالَّذِي بِنَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ كَمَا قَالَتْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لِمُوسَى. You have said, by the one whom my soul in his hand, as the children of Israel have said to Musa, اجعل لنا آلهة كما لهم آلهة. Make us a God, a deity, as they have God and deity. قال إنكم قوم تجهلون. He said, indeed, you are people of ignorance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued to say, you would follow the ways of the people before you. This is collected by At-Tirmidhi. And also in another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ وَذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا فِي حُجْرِ ضَبٍ لَتَّبَعْتُمُوهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you would follow the ways of the ones, the nations before you, hand span by hand span, and arm length by arm length, even if they enter a lizard hole, you would follow them. قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We said, O Messenger of Allah, الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى, the Jews and the Christians. He said, فَمَنْ, who else? This is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. And here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, groups from our nation, they would follow the Jews and the Christians. And unfortunately, as the Christians and the Jews, they have grave worshipping, we adopted the grave worshipping. They decorate their churches, we started to decorate our masjids. Whatever they do, we try to imitate and do. And wal'iyadhu billah, this is one of the greatest reasons why people fall into innovation. They just want to imitate others. And once, I was actually talking to an innovator about the same issue. I said, why are you spending so much money in decorating the masjid? The Prophet ﷺ's mosque was very humble and simple. He said, but we need to compete with the Christian and the Jews. We need to show them that we have civilization and so on and so forth. I said, subhanAllah, in everything the ummah today is backward, but you emphasizing on decorating the masjid. Yani something beyond belief how the mentality of the people today. Number 9, الاعتماد على الأحاديث الضعيفة والموضوعة. To rely upon the weak ahadith and the fabricated ahadith. And this is one of the great reasons why innovation is spread. I was also talking to a person once. I said, Ya Akhi, what is the dalil that this dancing dhikr here? He said, Bilal radiallahu anhu, in one hadith, he entered on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abi Bakr, and they were jumping and flipping. I said, what? He said, yeah, this is a hadith. I said, subhanAllah, this is hadith fabricated. Yani beyond belief, some of the extent they go to fabricate a hadith to support their bid'ah, wal'iyadu billah. And this ahadith, alhamdulillah, ahlul ilm, the people of knowledge, did not let him go. They did highlight to us the ahadith which are fabricated. Number 10, al-ghulu a'zamu asbab intishar al-bid'ah. Also extremism. Extremism in the deen. It is one of the ways why bid'ah innovations are spread. When we talk today, unfortunately, about extremism, we think what the Westerners are trying to tell us about extremism. No, extremism could be sometimes in ideology, like the Murji'a. The Murji'a said, whomever says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah once in his life is a Muslim. Khalas, even if he doesn't do anything at all. That is also extremism. Extremism in neglecting Islam. Extremism is in neglecting the deen. That is extremism. Another type of extremism, like the extremism of the Khawarij, they went so far in the issue of major sin, that anyone who falls into major sin, according to them, he becomes, wal'iyadu billah, kafir. And that's also an extremism. So Ahlul Sunnah are in the middle. And also extremism in excessively praising the righteous. They praise the righteous people, and the awliya and the saints, until they turn ibadat and types of worship to them. They will prostrate towards their grave. They would sacrifice near their grave. And there is also another type of extremism that it is forbidden in Islam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith collected by An-Nasa'i, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. Be aware from extremism in the religion. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُو فِي الدِّينِ. Indeed, what destroyed the people before you, extremism in religion. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said about himself, in the hadith that is collected by Bukhari, لَا تُطْرُونِي كَمَا أَطْرَتِ النَّصَارَى عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ. Do not praise me so much as the Christian praised Isa ibn Maryam. فَأَنَا عَبْدُهُ فَقُولُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. I am indeed his slave, say the slave of Allah and his messenger. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said in this hadith, do not attribute things to me which is incorrect. Yani, do not worship me beside Allah. Do not direct types of worship to me beside Allah. Do not ask me beside Allah. All this, because I am in need of the mercy of Allah. I am his slave and messenger. And inshallah, we stop at this. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.